Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. And today we are joined on the program by an old friend, a guy who's been on the show with his band, a band that started in Virginia in 1992. They went on to record an album with Vanguard Records and achieved tremendous album success and chart success. In fact, they won an American Music Award for new music for the song that they had out. And we'd like to welcome Barry Privett to Border Crossings today, who is the voice of Carbon Leaf. Nice to have you.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Do you remember when you came here?
I do. When we came to the studio, up in D.C., right? So we I think the biggest memory was just trying to get parking and then get into the building. I felt like it was like Maxwell. I had this memory of that. It was like Maxwell Smart, kind of like going through all these ways.
Doors everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you remembered it, because I remember you were one of the first guests I had on Border Crossings.
Really?
Yes. And you're one of the first guests in our newly designed studio, which had hardwood floors and all that at that time. But yeah, that was a long time ago. Welcome back, stranger. It's nice to have you back.
Good to be back.
So how has Carbon Leaf changed, if at all, in the time since we last spoke to today? I mean, what's been changing?
We're grayer. So 15 years, it's been busy. We tour annually, so we're always gone about 100 days a year. And we've just been focused on releasing our own projects independently. I think since that last time when we were on Vanguard, you know, we left the label in 2010 and we set about kind of an ambitious schedule to just write and record projects. We wanted to write and record, release something every 8 months. So we did that for a number of years and then got pretty burnt on that. And, we re-recorded some of our label albums just to retain the master recordings, and we did a Blu-ray, big 27 song Blu-ray, a couple of EPs.
Wow!
We released two full-length records within the course of a year back in 2013. So we've been busy, and then this one's been a real bear as well. We released this project kind of like just as the pandemic was starting to sink its teeth into everything. So kind of
the new album is Time is the Playground.
Time is the Playground. That's correct.
So what is the significance of that title? How did you come up with that?
Yeah, good question. I actually found an old post-it note in my scraps of stuff. I actually taken a picture of this post-it note where I had scratched the Time is the Playground on it. And I just scratched some ideas on it and it recently just discovered it. But that was, I sketched that, I think, in 2016. And then I went back and looked at my notes, and the title's been floating around, I think, since 2008, because the title track, I had a demo from 2008. So I don't know where that came into my head, but, the title is just kind of an acceptance of, you know, the fact that we live in these cyclical moments. You know, we have our traditions, we have our things that come back around. We have our clocks on the wall. You know, everything feels like it's in this seasonal loop, right? And yet it's not. It's like we're on a linear path, and that's something that we all have in common, that contrasts kind of like this circular thing that we can feel like we're in. So, you know, to me, it was just a way of saying, you know, time is now, and this is the playground we have. And in terms of like just not beating yourself up at year after year over certain things that keep regenerating, or, you know, looking back, you know, or looking too far ahead. You know, it's just like, this is where I am. And it's just kind of a little bit of a mental touchstone for me, you know.
Barry Privett from Carbon Leaf is our guest. And I always was wondering from, the standpoint of I'm not a musician, I don't record albums. So when you do make an album, is it a difficult process to come up with a title?
You know, it's funny, I was watching some REM interview recently where they were like finishing an album. It might have been Out of Time or something. And they were like, I don't know what to call it. Like, Out of Time is a pretty good title. I'm not sure if I got that right. But usually the title presents itself at some point during the process. I'd have to go through each one, but I've never really struggled to have that. It's been Echo came into my mind. Indian Summer was, you know, the one that we released, Life Less Ordinary, and a few things that had radio success. Ghost Dragon Attacks Castle was another one that popped into my head. And so I was like, well, we got to write the album for whatever this title is, you know? But yeah, Time is the Playground for me was a good kind of keystone to then try to find, to fit the material around that idea. And so all of the songs on this album, the thread is they're all ruminations on time and kind of my place, our place on this timeline, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Boy, we're in a difficult time right now, here in the United States and around the world, with the wars going on and the division, you know, in different countries, including our own. A lot of stuff happening right now.
Yeah, always is.
There always is. Now, how did you guys survive COVID?
Yeah. Well, you know, we were on tour. We were on a tour when COVID started kind of making kind of landfall out west and then kind of brush firing its way east. You know, we felt like it was, you know, coming towards us. And we were on in the Midwest and East Coast at the time. And but we only had three shows left in the tour. But then within those three shows, things just really started changing rapidly. And I think we had a show in Massachusetts that night, and we got up and turned on the radio, and it was like, Massachusetts is closing down. So we said, well, that's that.
Yep. All the venues shut down. Everything shut down.
I mean, everything shut down. So we just deadheaded home to Virginia. And we were involved in a few projects, that Blu-ray I mentioned. And so we came back to the studio, spent 4 or 5 days doing that. And I think a few of us by then had contracted COVID. Nobody really knew what was going on, right? And so we all broke for quarantine. Mm-hmm. And I went down to the beach and stayed in an Airstream for a month, and then moved to this was off season. It was kind of the wintertime, you know, and then moved to a cottage where I just started putting this new project together. And everybody else had kind of adjusted to COVID life. And, you know, what do we do with the kids with school? And now we're homeschool tutors. And it was just crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. So everyone just needed to go man their stations and deal with their families and things like that. I went and kind of just sketched out, you know, the beginning of what this album was going to be during that time, not knowing how long it was going to take to get out of it.
Right. We're talking with Barry Privett of Carbon Leaf, and you guys have been kind enough to record some songs for us. What's the first song that we're going to get a chance to hear and see?
Yes. So this is going to be the title track that we were talking about. It's Time is the Playground. So.
All right, Carbon Leaf, Time is the Playground on Border Crossings.
Run through the fields, another holiday. Burning in the lungs, but your mind escapes. One for the ages, straight into the fire. Ashes are waiting, your outpacing desire. Buildings rise and shadows fall. Sun dial time, clocks on the wall. You can't go back and start again. You just start again from wherever you went. Time is the playground. And the high escapes as the conversation's winding down, as the engine vibrates, it threads me like a needle of who's right through and marches on. Sure, I'm warned before I fade. Second hand, the shadows fall and it might be mine. A bow from the past as you're breaking away. Fire in the sky like someone's turning a page. Ashes, ashes everywhere. Come along with me, don't stop to stare. Side by side with youth and eternity left if we ignore the truth now. Time is the playground and the high-rise cityscape fades as the conversation's winding down. As the engine vibrates, it threads me like a needle of it moves right through and marches on. Make sure I'm warm before I fade. Second hand.
Playground. Border Crossings, Time is the Playground. That is Carbon Leaf, title track to the brand new album, which came out at the end of September. And so you guys are on tour. You're traveling around the big cities in the United States. What about internationally? Any plans to go overseas?
I would love to go overseas. In 2018, you know, we celebrated our 25th anniversary, and we had the European tour planned on the heels of our U.S. tour about this time then. And we had a couple of catastrophes. Our touring rig, the engine died when we were traveling through Texas at four shows into our U.S. tour. And it was a mess. We had to get a rescue bus that came in, and we had to tow the rig, 2 hours to El Paso, and dropped it off at the Freightliner dealer and said, hey, we don't have time to deal with this. We have a show every night for 30 days across the country. We just need to drop off the keys, let us know, and we'll deal with it as we go. So we got in a rescue bus and just hit city after city. We didn't miss any shows. But by the time our U.S. tour was finishing up, they were like, all right, well, look, it's going to be this much longer, and then someone's going to have you fly out and drive it back. So at that point, it was such a financial strain and a time strain that we just had to make the decision to cancel the European tour. So long story short, we haven't been over there as a band yet, and hope to reschedule all that.
Yes, yes, that would be great, because I know that people around the world would love to hear your music. Yeah. And it's interesting to hear a story that people really don't know, because when you made it to all the gigs that you were doing, people didn't know the hoops you had to jump through to get to that location for that show.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's the 2 hours of performance is like our favorite part of the day, because that's actually when you can exhale and relax and enjoy the connectivity. Mm-hmm. It's the other hours in the day that really just are just tough, routine, demanding, and you're trying to hit a moving target. You have a different office space, every day in a different city, literally, and you're kind of unpacking the circus, setting it up, performing, and then tearing it down, and then kind of driving out of town to get to the next one. So it's tough, so when people show up, it's worth it,
And you guys got together in the early 90s. How did that come together? You were college students.
We were in college at Randolph Macon College, which is kind of north of Richmond, Virginia, and we really just, Terry knew Carter, and they played guitar some together in a dorm, and then I knew Terry, and then Carter knew the drummer, and the drummer knew the bassist, and they all kind of started playing. Eventually, migrated together and started playing, and then Terry's like, "Well, my buddy Barry, can probably sing. Let's bring him in." And I was a writer and an actor in college and all, and so there was a performance element. And we just got together and we just started learning some cover songs and had no ambitions about it. But that's where things were seeded, and we started playing around school, started playing around some of the Virginia schools, and then kind of took a summer after we graduated to kind of scratch our heads and go, what do we want to do? Do we want to get this thing back together and give it a go? Because we'd only, it only just gotten together, and then we graduated, and then it was like, let's just give it a go. And then we just didn't look back.
Is this a career you always knew you wanted, or is this something that kind of just happened by falling into the limelight, into the spotlight?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, part of the album kind of deals with how random this is. It's like, am I surprised of all the ways a life could go? I'm passing all of those places on the way home. It's like you pick a direction and you can see all these other possibilities, but being in a band wasn't really my ambition. I was, again, more kind of like into acting and drama and writing and things like that. But I am using kind of that writing and performance minded disciplines to do this, and so that's a nice creative outlet for me. But no, I when I went to college, it wasn't about trying to be an artist in the musical capacity.
And how did you guys come up with the name Carbon Leaf? I'm sure I asked that of you 15 years ago, but just refresh my memory. How did you pick that name?
So Terry and I, again, our guitarist who owns this space, we took a rafting trip down the Nantahala in Tennessee, and as part of a school program. And on the way back, we were driving back, and we had gotten together as a band, and we were going to play our first show for this friend of ours on campus who had an off-campus apartment, and she wanted us to play her place. And she's like, "Well, I want to advertise. Do you, you know what?" What should I call you guys? And we were like, "Well, we haven't really officially discussed it yet, but Terry and I were driving back from this rafting trip, and we were throwing out things as we were driving through the mountains, and just putting random words together, looking out the window." And I blurted out "Carbon Leaf," and we were both kind of like, "That's interesting." And so we told her that, and without really having it make it official, she just put posters up around campus that Carbon Leaf was going to be playing. And then we tried to come up with a different name, and we were just like, couldn't agree. So we kind of just did that. I justify it now. I kind of retcon a justification where Carbon Leaf was two random words that were thrown together to form a new image, and kind of like you would paint. Like sometimes you might not know if a painter really knows where they're going with it, but they're laying it out there, and then it defines itself through the process. And so I kind of look at that as a correlation. There's five guys that came together randomly to form something completely new from it. So that's kind of how I, justify
And
the name.
the band is from Richmond, Virginia. What I mean, has Richmond inspired music from you guys? Have you written songs that came about as a result of your upbringing? Because, the new album is very personal. And so I'm just kind of curious if Richmond has played a role in any of your songs, your songwriting.
Not directly. No one is from Richmond. We all migrated there after college because it was close to campus, because a couple of the guys hadn't graduated yet. So a couple of us moved to Richmond to be near the guys so we could do this. But yeah, so a mix between, you know, Virginia and Virginia area. I don't know. I think there's a, you know, roots in acoustic music and kind of the Appalachian traditions and things like that all kind of seep into the culture a little bit. And it took us a little bit to kind of maybe find some of that acoustic and folk side to us that may have, you know, been just from being in this area, you know, it might inspire. Mm-hmm. I can't really look to anything specifically about Richmond. We did write a song once for a Virginia tourism campaign. And so, and that we wrote that, and that got played through the airport as people flew into Richmond and all, but that hasn't been released on our own albums. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Barry Privett's with us, and he is the lead singer from a band called Carbon Leaf. They have a new album, Time is the Playground, and we're going to ask for another song.
Yes, okay. This is going to be, again, off of the new album, and it's called California Gold.
California Gold. Carbon Leaf, that's California Gold here on Border Crossings. Is there a story behind that?
There is a story behind that. This is actually on the album. This is actually a song that didn't originate with Carbon Leaf. It's the only one where we have put it on an album where the music didn't originate inside our house. I was on vacation a couple of years back with my sister's family, and my nephew was learning guitar, and he was in the other room playing this riff, and I was like, "What is that?" And he's like, "Just something I just came up with," and I'm like, "It's really good. Do you mind if I maybe steal that one day?" And he's like, "Go ahead." And so I took him up on it. I recorded the part, and I sent it to Carter, our other guitarist. And I was like, "Hey, can you give this a pass and just, you know, see how it goes?" And so I liked the idea, and I knew thematically what I wanted to do with it. And so I just went ahead and wrote to it, and it ended up being great. And we put it on the record. And I just told him just a few weeks ago. It was kind of a surprise. It was on his birthday, and I was like, "Hey, I got a little surprise for you. You know, you're now a published songwriter, a co-songwriter."
And he said, "Where's my check?"
I told him the deal's been made,
And he missed the boat this time.
I said, exactly. I said, business is business after all, you know.
Say, we'll get you on the next one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm curious. I ask this frequently of our guests. If somebody came to you in an upper management type authority position and said, "Okay, Bear, listen, you got to pick one thing, you know, songwriting, singing, what are you going to do? Which is your preference? You can't do both. You got to pick one or the other."
Oh, you're the kind of guy that likes those kind of questions, huh?
Yes. Put the heat on Barry.
If I could only do one or the other, I mean, I'd be a writer, you know. I mean, I'm a utilitarian singer, you know. It's like I can get from A to B, but I don't take a whole lot of detours in between the notes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, I think writing to me is really kind of where my imagination goes on a daily basis of just the ideas and exploring ideas. And I think, I mean, you know, if I didn't have to sing or front a group and, you know, could write stories and be a writer, you know, or write screenplays or poems, and just that kind of transfer to me, it would be, I think, the most meaningful. I wouldn't be happy getting up and singing someone else's story. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To me, what's exciting about doing this is that it's our story. We're writing all of this stuff, and that's our path. That's our story. And there's going to be evidence of that for better or worse.
Mm-hmm. So since you like songwriting, or would, you know, pick songwriting over singing, where is the most unusual or unique place you ever got inspiration to write a song? Something that inspired you, whether you were in a location or something was going on at the time. Many people say the bathroom. Some people say an airplane, you know.
That's a very hard question that I'm sure has some good answers if I could recall them in the time it takes. For this album, I actually rented about maybe five or six different Airbnb places around the country, and from a lake house in Wisconsin in the dead of winter that some friends loaned me, to a barn loft on the James River here in Virginia, to an old converted schoolhouse up in New England, up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. I'm just different places, a cottage on the shore, anywhere where I could go for, you know, four weeks to 6 weeks, and kind of be a little out of my comfort zone, not be uncomfortable, but just be a little bit kind of inspired by a new surrounding always helps me creatively. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know if those are weird places, but, they were desolate, isolated. They were kind of in the winter and the snow, and, you know, you had, it was almost like I had to write these things. I had to do that in this time frame. And so in a way, those were my, you know, motivators, my catalyst to like move into a place, get a couple of songs out of it, go somewhere else, do the same thing. you know, I would say was good. I wrote a song on the lawn of Monticello once, Thomas Jefferson's home here in Virginia. And that was pretty memorable. I kind of just sat there with my notebook long, long time ago. And, you know, this fine, I didn't realize what time it was. And I was into it. And the security guard comes strolling up into the middle of the lawn. And here I'm sitting in the middle of Thomas Jefferson's front yard. And he's like, "Hey, we closed about 10 minutes ago."
Wait, I'm almost done with my song.
I know. It's like, oh, okay.
Barry Privett is our guest. It's Carbon Leaf that is in the spotlight here on Border Crossings for today. And you're going to do another song for us.
Yeah, we'll do another one. And this one is from a few albums back on Indian Summer. It's called One Prairie Outpost.
One Prairie Outpost, Carbon Leaf.
Not been here since I was a boy. The sky unwrapped, the world my toy. A movie reel, a million miles long. It goes on and on. Scene after scene passes by my life. The wind knows a wound and the road is a knife. The irony asks me, where have you been? I don't know, I don't know, because I don't know where to begin. Too much to do, too much to see, and pictures to take, people to meet. When there's so much space in between, it overwhelms me. Scene after scene passes by my life. The wind knows a wound and the road is a knife. The irony asks me, where have you been? I don't know, I don't know, because I don't know where to begin.
One Prairie Outpost, the name of the song from Carbon Leaf. We're talking with Barry Privett, who is the songwriter, the singer for Carbon Leaf. And, you know, I'm sure you do many other things, you know, the engineer, the sound guy, the setup, the light guy. You do it all when you guys are out on the road doing your thing. Now that you're independent, so I would guess you have more freedom and control over what you do in an independent setting versus in a major label.
You do. I mean, you know, Vanguard, when we were with that label, I mean, they weren't real, they weren't like, they didn't have their hands in the pot necessarily. So being on a label is good from a like marketing standpoint, where you just have help dealing with, you know, a lot of that. And we, I do miss that from being on a label, but you know, after a while, you know, unless you just have hit after hit after hit, and you know, and God bless those acts that do, you know, if you don't, and you have, you know, dips, it's very hard to maintain that relationship on a label, from a financial standpoint, you know, and so you, you trade some things, you know, for that relationship. And we just decided that we didn't want to trade our, we didn't want to train our royalty rights to our songs. And, we wanted, we just wanted control over that. And so that's kind of, you know, been our motivator, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you've experienced success, the big stage success, it's always adds pressure. You know, you always want to get back to that point. You want right. to sustain and maintain that point when you guys are riding high on the wave. We're talking with Carbon Leaf, and the new album is Time is the Playground. And so I wanted to ask you, what's been the highlight for you so far? I don't see the American Music Award anywhere behind you. You know, if I won one, it would definitely be in a prominent place. I put it on the dash of my car is where I would put my, it's my award.
I think it's, it might be in one of these boxes.
In a box, you think?
No.
An American Music Award.
No, every, of course, everyone has theirs at home on display. We just, I just don't have them in the studio, but that was certainly a highlight. I mean, it was the internet was the Wild West back then, and they were having contests that you could enter. And we entered this contest for this, you know, this new music award that the AMAs were doing through Dick Clark Productions. And we threw our a song in the ring and the boxer, ironically, and, you know, it kind of just carried through. And we just, it was basically this huge battle of the bands, and we ended up kind of like getting all the way to the finish line. And so that was a great thing that happened in our career at a moment where we really needed a next bump, and allowed us to expand our awareness and base and touring, and kind of got us to Indian Summer, which got some radio play. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it really just helped us, I guess, really just galvanize what would become our independent kind of spirited, you know, spirit minded, you know, ethos of kind of operating.
It's a great feather in your cap to be able to say American Music Award winner, Carbon Leaf, you know.
Yeah, better have that title than not.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. It's Barry Privett from Carbon Leaf on the program today. The Boxer was the biggest hit in your collection so far. And did you have any problems with Simon and Garfunkel? Because they had a hit called The Boxer.
It still ticks me off because when I search for The Boxer on Spotify, it still pulls up Simon and Garfunkel and not Carbon Leaf. I'm like, come on, guys, you got to get this algorithm going. No, haven't gotten any cease and desist letters yet.
Yeah. You started off as a cover band, didn't you? Isn't that
it'd be good publicity.
You guys were singing cover songs when you started.
We were. Yeah, that's all we did for a couple of years. But then, you know, that just grew very tired and felt like we had something in us. And so we just decided to drop the covers and start originals. And we lost all of our families. You know, everybody that was seeing us at the time were kind of our contemporaries, kind of fresh out of school. And so, you know, we had actually a good fan base. And then when we went original, it took us a couple of years where everybody dropped off and we had to like rebuild.
Mm. Well, we're glad you rebuilt, and you know, the Carbon Leaf is you know, still going strong, and it's a thrill to catch up with you and to have you on the show again as somebody who supported us and the Voice of America years and years ago, and you're still at it. The new album is Time is the Playground. Where can people find out more information about Carbon Leaf? Where can they get your tour schedule? Where can they get the bios and all that stuff? Where do they go?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously carbonleaf.com and then you can hit our socials, Instagram and Facebook. We're always posting kind of what's going on. But the tour schedule's up on the band's website, and those spots will get you where you need to go.
All right. And is there anything you want to say to the troops who are tuned in or the worldwide audience in 100 countries right now?
I thank you for your attention, and I hope you dig some of what we do and find some resonance. I think I think if you're overseas and the new album Time is the Playground, I think there's a lot of stuff in there that would speak to, you know, maybe some of those feelings of being far from what's familiar or isolated, and you're, you know, you're so in the now. I think it's just kind of a good I think it's just a great album to listen to and kind of make that reminder that, you know, we're in the now and let's make it count.
Time is the Playground. That's the new album. It's out now from Carbon Leaf. Thank you, Barry, for being with us.
Thanks, Larry.
And giving us all this great music. My name is Larry London. Carbon Leaf, our guest, Barry Privett from the band, has joined us. This is the Voice of America, and you are watching VOA TV.